beginning of the 20th century, the underground operation, where they were only targeting copper, silver, gold veins. And they were producing copper slate, and they were throwing that material in that portion of the tailings that was not covered by our permit, but now it is. This belongs to the government of Peru. So obviously, government of Peru wants this project to move forward. We're going to clean up this acid producer, the stockpile and the tailings. We're going to clean up that over 20 years. We're going to create the well back in the community of Cerro Vasco. We're going to pay the government of Peru 30% income tax. And we're going to, all our shareholders are going to benefit from that. Like, this project is win, 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 win all the way.
Hi guys, we got Guy Goulet here, CEO of Cerro de Pasco. How's it going here? We're at the Rural Symposium 2026. Have you been here before?
I was here last year. Thank you for the invitation, by the way.
Absolutely. Well, Guy, if you can tell our audience where you guys are, where you guys are trading, what your website is, and how people can find you.
So we're listed main exchange, the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture. Our website is www.pascoresources.com, and you will find out on our website. We're also listed in Frankfurt, we're listed in Lima, we're listed on the OTC, and we'll probably get a listing on the NASDAQ by October, November.
Great. Well, we've been here at the Rural Symposium, and I've got a chance to listen to you a little bit. You've had times to interact with other investors. What's the excitement like here?
Oh, it's good. Like, people, they know the project. It's a different project. Like, there's no mining at Cerro de Pasco, and people like that. What I say often, what's the problem in the mining business? And the answer is mining. So our project, like, we own the mineral rights on what was processed and extracted from the emblematic Cerro de Pasco mine that was financed at the time in 1906 by Mr. J.P. Morgan himself. So we've got the mineral rights on what is above ground, the tailings and the stockpile. So we own the mineral rights on what we expect to be the largest above ground mineral asset on the planet.
So where is your project? And if you could expound a little bit more on what you mean by problem is mining. So, and how does your project, how's it unique from all the other ones that I'm hearing here?
So our project is like, it's in Cerro de Pasco. It's a community of 67,000 people, 15,000 feet above sea level in the Andes of Peru. That mine used to employ 7,000 people. Today, that mine barely employ 400 people. So the grade, that mine was, by the way, at some point, was the largest gold, copper, silver mine in the world. Okay? So they extracted from that pit over the years 300 million tons. 75 million tons were processed. But they were processed, but after 24 hours, the mine was so big. So I have to open a parenthesis here. When you do the flotation process, you can rapidly recover 60% of your metals after 24 hours. Okay. And you can extend that to 72 hours, and then you will end up recovering 85-87% of the metals. But you go back in time. Why should they have wait an extra 48 hours to gain an extra 25%? So after the first 24 hours, they were throwing that rich material into what we call today the Quillacocha tailings, which is the richest tailings on the planet. And by the way, one of the two or three largest one on the planet. So shareholders of Cerro de Pasco Resource, we own the mineral rights on these tailings.
So what do you think you have, like, and what have you done so far when it comes to doing tests?
So we compile everything that was processed from the investment of Mr. J.P. Morgan back in 1906 until they stopped dumping material in that tailings in 1992. And that compilation shows us, like, we're always on 40 holes. We're always 1.5 to 2.5 ounce per ton silver and 5.3 ounce per ton silver equivalent. Yeah. There's no gap. There's not 1 meter of sterile. Why is that? You go back in time, they were extracting from that pit every day 20,000 tons. They were processing 13,000. But the 13,000, just by the color, they were sending the rich material. So I go back what I just mentioned to you.
Yeah.
You go 24 hours, you stop the process. So it was always rich material that was going. The 60% recover was always rich.
Yeah.
So this is why on that project, there will be no pre-economic assessment study.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned to you, there's no gap, there's no sterile. It's always rich material. So it worked less to do a independently a pre-economic assessment study. We're going straight into the feasibility study.
Okay. So that's quite unique from what I typically hear. What advantage does that give you that you don't have to do that?
Well, today to produce base metal and precious metal, 40% of the cost is mining. There's no mining there. So the OPEX will be kind of $10 per ton.
Yeah.
$1 mining, $7 and $8 processing, and $1, $2 G&A. That's the beauty of that project. Everything above ground.
Okay.
I had, by the way, 4 underground mine in my life.
Yeah.
You got to push air down. You got to push pump water up. You got to watch the loose block. You got to have those rock bolts.
Yeah.
So in Cerro de Pasco, there's no problem. We're just going to create the mud and smoothly pump the mud to the neighbor facility if we can agree with them, or eventually to the facilities we're going to build.
So you're pumping mud out and that allows you to get direct access to these minerals?
No, the mud.
The mud.
The mud is the ore.
The mud is the mineral.
The mud is the ore.
Okay, and what do you have in there?
We have silver, we have lead, zinc, copper, gold. And what we didn't know what we had is gallium and indium. Okay, and well, we'll see. You know what's going on with gallium lately?
Yeah, there is critical is for military defense.
Well, and radars and satellite, U.S. need gallium. U.S.
China dominates it, right?
98% of the gallium produced by China.
Yeah.
So we got a grant, by the way, by the Department of Finance Corporation. Maximum we could get was $5 million. We got that.
Yeah.
And they also engage into the intention of participating to the project up to $300 million. So it's a nice sign. It's a nice sign. We're doing a lot of metallurgical tests at the moment. So it looks like we're going to end up with a base metal concentrate, lead, zinc, and copper.
Okay.
Silver and gold will be in there, so we'll get payability for silver and gold. And then we're going to get stuck with a pyrite concentrate that we'll have to place somewhere in Cerro de Pasco.
Okay.
Or what you do with pyrite? Sulfuric acid. Okay. If you roast the pyrite, you can end up with sulfuric acid. And this is all new. The price of sulfuric acid lately have just gone crazy up.
Yeah.
And there are 7 or 8 big players that control the price of sulfuric acid at the moment.
Yeah.
And the idea would be to, instead of stocking that pyrite concentrate somewhere in Cerro de Pasco and losing the silver containing that pyrite, ideal would be to transport it. There's already a railroad from Cerro de Pasco to the coast, and give it to one of these sulfuric acid consumer. And some of them at the moment are building roaster. So we don't want to build a roaster. It's $300 million and it's not our build. Sulfuric acid is not our business. So it would be to give them the pyrite, they burn it, they get their sulfuric acid, and we get the calcine back. So in the calcine, we'll recover the silver, we'll recover the gold, the antimony, and we'll recover some iron pellets.
So when it comes to upside, what are people excited about and what are the hesitations here? Because this is quite a unique project.
So since there's no mining costs, okay, you go on our website, the PowerPoint presentation, you go on page 11, and you do your economics by yourself, okay? You take what we have drilled so far. Mm-hmm. We're going to catch up on copper on the second drilling campaign, but you just take what's in there.
Yeah.
You take whatever you want for the price of metals, you multiply that by 75 million tons, and you do your exercise. Let's say we're miserable, we recover 40%, check the numbers, and you say we're good, we recover 70%. In both cases, you will see we worth a lot more than 400 million market cap Canadian at the moment.
That's where you guys are right now?
But I think people are waiting for metallurgy. When metallurgy is out...
What's the timeline on that?
We'll have a... Well, we published something like 2-3 weeks ago, and we'll do another announcement probably sometime in September, October. So we're doing some tests right now, roasting the pyrite, how much silver we can recover. So can you understand? We're going to get the payability on the silver in the base metal concentrate, but we can recover some silver that we were going to lose. Yeah. So the silver recovery will be kind of exceptional. Nobody will do that.
So you also mentioned JP Morgan several times. Why is that significant?
Well, it's emblematic. It's emblematic. When he invested into that mine became the school of all the mine. That mine became the cash cow of the country. That mine became, I repeat, the largest gold, copper, silver mine in the world.
Yeah. If that's been so large and significant, why has that not been better known than it is today?
Well, Cerro de Pasco is known. You go to Cerro de Pasco, when you enter the community, you got an arch there, and it's written, La Capital Mundial de la Mina, the world capital of the mine.
Okay.
Talk to anybody. Anybody knows Cerro de Pasco.
Cerro de Pasco.
Most of the people have been to Cerro de Pasco.
Yeah.
I repeat, it was the school of all the mines.
Okay. And then let's go to the share structure. How many shares do you have?
So we got north of 600 million shares outstanding.
How much?
600 million.
Okay.
But management with Eric Sprott. Eric's our main shareholder with 22% of the shares. Okay.
Okay.
Management, Eric Sprott, and four institutions, we got 43% of the shares.
43? Okay. What's your stake in there? And then what's the plan to, that's a lot of shares. Do you have plans to clean that up?
Well, it's a lot easier to move a stock from $1 to $2 or $4 than rolling it back. So we don't need to roll it back.
Okay.
You roll back when there's a problem, but right now the volume is there. I repeat, 43% of the shares are owning within 6 hands, so we don't need to roll back. We're probably going to get the listing on the NASDAQ. It will help the volume. The volume is good, by the way. It's always good.
What's the timeline on the NASDAQ?
Well, I was talking to you yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to get sued.
Sued?
In the United States.
Okay, so you got to be...
So
you can reveal.
When we finish the metallurgy...
You tell me.
We're sealed. We're sealed. Like, we're not afraid of anything. We're going to get a listing on the NASDAQ at that time.
Okay.
October? Yeah.
Okay. That's the timeline. Any other news that's coming out that we can look forward to?
So the nice thing, we're moving. If you remember yesterday, I showed you and everybody can look on our website. There's a zone, which is clearly a copper zone. The color show the nice orange, and we haven't drilled that portion. That's why from our compilation, we end up at 0.09%
copper.
No, sorry, from that compilation, from our compilation, we end up at 0.42. But from the first phase of drilling, we end up at 0.9%. So that means on the 16 million ton we have to drill, we got to catch up there to end up at 0.42%. We're sure about our compilation. That means what's exciting is those 80 drill holes we're going to pursue in the next month or two or three, they will be very high copper grade. And Steve, above ground.
So it's above ground. Why is there the difference between the two grades? And if you can talk a little bit more about that.
It's just because that portion come from the beginning of the 20th century, the underground operation, where they were only targeting copper, silver, gold veins. And they were producing copper slate, and they were throwing that material in that portion of the tailings that was not covered by our permit, but now it is. This belongs to the government of Peru. So obviously government of Peru wants this project to move forward. We're going to clean up this acid producer, the stockpile and the tailings. We're going to clean up that over 20 years. We're going to create the well back in the community of Cerro Vasco. We're going to pay the government of Peru 30% income tax. And we're going to, all our shareholders are going to benefit from that. Like, this project is win, 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 win all the way.
So you mentioned Peru. What kind of support are you getting from Peru?
And
no what's
support.
The jurisdiction?
There's no support. Like Peru.
You said there's no support?
No support from the government. It's not like US or again.
Okay.
Peru, you pay your tax, there's no NSR.
Okay.
So that ground belongs to the government. You don't have an NSR to pay. You pay your income tax. When you pay your income tax, it's solid permit. That is why all the major companies are going there. Barrick, Teck, Newmont, Pan American Silver, Chinalco. When you pay your tax, you're good.
So you said it's a win-win-win. If you can tell us about the upside and what's the risk?
What can go wrong? That's what you're asking me. What doesn't make me sleep? What can go wrong? Junior mining company, you can run out of money. Historically, like, market goes like that. In our case, we've got $50 million cash.
Okay. Canadian.
To go, we have no debt.
No debt.
So the company is really healthy. To go to the end of the feasibility study, it's going to cost us 25 up maximum $30 million US. So we got enough money. We got Eric Sprott as a main shareholder. He put a lot of money in. He still have those warrants to exercise. So I'm going to touch wood, but it will be difficult to run out of cash. Okay. Second problem with the communities. It happens. Okay. But where we are in Cerro de Pasco, it's a district, it's mine-minded. So people want this project to move forward, creating the wealth in the community of Cerro de Pasco again. When we inaugurate that drilling campaign, the presidente, the mayor of the community, he says, I recall, that mine used to employ 7,000 people. 67,000 people live there.
Yeah.
What else do you do else than mining in Cerro de Pasco at 15,000 feet above sea level? There's nothing. You cannot grow anything. Okay. So the presidente says we all want to send our children to college and university in Lima. We just don't have the money anymore. And he was pointing out our stockpile and our tailing. And he says, this is what's going to send the children to college and university. So I don't see a problem with the community. Third, problem with the government. They change government. Since the past 10 years, they have changed president 8 times.
Okay.
So there's no problem. We're not dealing there. We're dealing with the bureaucrats. The last thing that can go wrong, metallurgy is not working. metallurgy not working, that means 40% recovery. I invite you to do the exercise. You will see
the math.
You still make a lot of money at 40% recovery.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you. I do know that we had the presentation when we looked at it together. It was exciting to look at. And if people want to look at that, if people want to ask you questions further, how can people follow your story and reach out to you?
Well, you can see my email address. I forward to somebody or I answer personally during the weekends. So you can see it on my website.
Okay. And then what's your ticker one more time? And where are you trading?
CDPR on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture.
Awesome. Well, Guy, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Enjoy
the rest of the Rule Symposium.
Thank you.